Our final case study is a gentleman by the name of Gary, one of Dr. McCall's patients, who has had type 2 diabetes for 12 years. Now, through the years, Gary has literally had ups and downs in his blood sugars, and lately, it's been quite a bit of elevated blood sugars. Dr. McCall recently put him on U-500 concentrated insulin to get his blood sugar under better control.
I work for a consulting engineering firm, and we do a large majority of environmental type work.
Did y'all get that designed out?
It takes a lot of work to manage that in pulling everything together. One thing that I've learned in dealing with my doctor is that either diabetes can manage you or you can manage it. I was diagnosed with diabetes when I was 40 years old in January of 1998.
A rough year.
My blood sugar levels were extremely high. On my hemoglobin A1C, it was like a 12.3. I was basically out of control big time. I was initially put on the oral medications. I learned that I could manage it with the diet, with the medicine, and with the exercise for probably about 3 to 4 years. But my levels were starting to come back up on me. I started using a long-acting insulin. I would email my doctor once a week with my readings, and he would email me back to let me know how to adjust my insulin.
And that worked very well until he had some back problems.
Hold your breath for a sec.
When he was no longer able to keep up with exercise and a great diet, then his needs for insulin rose to compensate for his own inability to make enough.
Look over there.
At this point, I was 50 years old, and my doctor suggested using a different type of insulin. It's more of a concentrated type of insulin.
He was on well over 200 units, and he was nowhere near control. So we switched him to this because he needed more, so I wanted to rapidly get him up to as much as he needed. It's plain old vanilla regular insulin, but it is 5 times as concentrated. So ordinarily, all insulin preparations are 100 units per cc, or U-100. This is U-500, just 500 units per cc. When you're very insulin resistant and need huge amounts, it has a longer time course. That's the trick we were taking advantage of. You don't have to take an enormous number of injections. You don't have to stick yourself 3 and 4 times in order to give yourself several hundred units. And he got better controlled than he was on his other. He's still working on getting it perfectly controlled, but we are improving him. And that's the name of the game.
The concentrate works better for me because the better the control I have, the less problem I have. It's been a very good thing. You can't fully overcome diabetes, but you can manage it.
There's Lily, Caroline.
I want to see those grandkids grow up. I want to see my kids do well, and I want to spend time with them.
This patient is a great example of somebody who's been paying attention, who's struggled with diabetes at times. It's interesting, he actually wound up, even though he had been originally on 180 units of insulin after I put him on, he got off of insulin altogether when he started opening the gym at 5 o'clock every morning, 6 days a week. Okay. Unfortunately, he developed pretty bad back problems afterward and became more insulin resistant as inability to exercise became part of his problems. But he was able to get on enough insulin through this concentrated insulin to get himself back down under better control. As I said, he's still working on it. It's a trick that you can use in special circumstances. I don't usually recommend this, that everybody try this without specialist advice, but I think for the right kind of patient, it makes a lot of sense. And most importantly, insulin, if you give enough, does work.
Despite all the strong data on the role of insulin in regards to type 2 diabetes, we know that there are still misconceptions and barriers. Talk about that a little bit.
Okay, well, there are barriers to initiation of insulin, both on the part of the physician as well as the part of the patient. The physician looks at insulin initiation as something that's time-consuming. So there is some inertia that's built into the physician as well. Then the patient is not eager to go on insulin, and they ask for an additional 3 months, and then it becomes 6 months, and we are really treating patients to failure rather than treating them successfully, because we are just postponing the initiation of appropriate therapy for the patient. So part of it is the physician's responsibility, lack of resources, and just being talked into waiting a little bit longer. The other concern, and that exists both in part of physicians as well as patients, is the concern about hypoglycemia. And that obviously requires education for the patient, recognition of symptoms, continuous monitoring or monitoring the blood glucose levels as often as possible, and being very much attuned to the potential signs and symptoms of a drop in blood glucose level.
Coming from the Latino world, I notice that there's a lot of myths within that group. And one of the biggest myths that is brought to my attention a lot, it's the old, when abuelita went on insulin, she ended up with an amputation or she went blind. And we need to let these folks know that the reason abuelita had these complications was that insulin was started too late. And they don't understand, and we have to take the time to go through the pathophysiology of the disease so they understand the progression and why these things are happening.
So what are some of the strategies that you would offer your colleagues in regards to reducing the barriers and fixing the misconceptions?
I think the way we present it is critical. Many patients are told if they're not watching their diet and exercising, we're going to be giving them injections with insulin. And our body language says, whoa, I think we need to get over that and present it differently.
I agree. We should eliminate the idea of it being a threat. Actually, in fact, when I discuss the normal pathophysiology and progression of the disease, even early on when patients are diagnosed, they want to know whether they would ever need insulin. I said, I hope you live long enough that you will need insulin. And it's just part of the natural history. It's acceptable. It's just a question of not waiting too long to initiating the treatment. And it's a form of treatment just like anything else.
Well, we've had a very rich discussion today about the role of insulin in treating type 2 diabetes. And doctors, I wonder if you would just share one or two key teaching points for your colleagues to leave this program with.
What I like to share with the patient is the progressive nature of their beta cell reserve dropping off every year at about 4 or 5%, which will require insulin sooner or later. And the second thing that I really like to stress to the patients is that we're not going to threaten you with insulin. We're going to promise you insulin if you get to live long enough. So we try to put that positive spin.
The take-home message is that patients should be treated aggressively and they should be treated early on. And by aggressively, I'm talking about utilizing all the resources that we have available, whatever medications it takes, and if it means insulin early on, that's just fine. In fact, there are even some data showing that early insulin administration may be protective for the pancreas. So that would be another reason not to wait too long before initiating insulin therapy.
My take-home message is that insulin works always. It takes a while to learn how to use it, but if you gradually acquire that skill, you can stay under control and you can stay well.
Thank you all for participating in this really important discussion today. And we'd also like to thank our viewers, and we hope today's program has helped you better understand how to utilize insulin therapy for your patients with diabetes. Now, we encourage each of you to go to your computer, log on to discoverychannelcme.com, and take the post test. It only takes a few minutes to earn free credit for this program. And if you'd like to see the program again, you can watch it online, download a podcast, or order a DVD. Now, all the graphics and references from the program are also available online. Finally, we'd like to thank the University of Virginia School of Medicine for accrediting the program, and we'd like to thank Eli Lilly and Company for the educational grant that made this program possible. I'm Rhea Blakey for Discovery Channel CME. Have a great day.